Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, college baseball ticket giveaway for you turning it on, leaving it on, coming up at 7:20 during the commercial-free expressway. And have we all been missing the real reason why the Luka trade went down? I have a theory that I'm buying into. That's coming up in 20 minutes here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Are we going to 18 games for the future National Football League seasons?
It appears, right, Bobby?
Yeah, it appears that is going to be the case, that they're going to go to 18 games at some point.
The NFLPA said absolutely not.
The NFLPA doesn't want it. Roger Goodell is refusing to apparently address the issue, allegedly, his comments at Super Bowl until the next CBA comes up. So he says, we're not going to look at 18 until we get to the next CBA. But yeah, when we get to the next CBA, we want to talk about that. This is ultimately where it's headed the entire time. As soon as they went to 17, everybody said, you're going to get to 18. They want the even number. This is just, it's incrementalism. You try and take a little, take a little, take a little, and then you eventually get to where you want to go. And now the only question at that point would be, all right, are you backing it up at the start of the season? Are you pushing the end of the season back a little bit? Are you taking away another preseason game?
And you were asking, Choppy, what should we actually care about?
Yeah, like, should we care at all about player safety?
Yeah. Yep. We should.
Should we? I mean, or like, should we care about our own entertainment? Like, what's, you know what I mean? Like,
when you, if not you, really.
Like UFC has a lot of people watching it. A ton of people.
Uh-huh.
Do the UFC fans actually care?
No.
About what happens to the gladiators in the ring?
It's different. That's like blood sport, and yet you still see, and I know we're still a ways away, but like, for instance, boxers is... As bad as some of them get later in life, like some of the worst cases you see of people just with, you know, brain injuries and different things, the older they get, it's football. Like we've all talked about it before. I don't know about on the air, but I know off the air we've talked about it. Just how like much it makes you go, like, should they really be walking that guy around Radio Row at Super Bowl?
Yeah, Joey Porter was the one that surprised me this year.
Where it's just like, man, that does not look like he should be getting paraded around to talk to people. Some of those are really, really sad to see. So yeah, I mean, I think people watch football and I don't think when there's boxing or UFC, they know it's like you're beating each other up. Like it, I don't think it connects the same way with football until you see it later in life.
Look, I'm just going to be honest. I'm answering it for my own entertainment value. Yes, I care, but like,
it's massively secondary.
It's massively secondary. It's at the back end of the conversation. Sign me up for 18. That's the way that things are heading anyway. Like, these other leagues are having major problems. We're about to get to the fourth one. But give me one more week of the National Football League to talk about it as much as possible. So sign me up for 18.
Yeah, I want 18 games too. I think when it comes to the question of like, do we care or should we care? We care when we see it.
Yeah.
Like when people see the Tua stuff, when Tua hits the ground and he's having a neurological response, people get very uncomfortable with the game of football really quick.
Yes.
The DeMar Hamlin stuff, that gets really uncomfortable really fast. And so, yeah, I think people do care. If they can out of sight, out of mind, well, if I don't have to see it, then it's better.
And NFL reporter is going to get some Bloomin' Onion here
the
road.
That's right. The NFL is going to play in 2026, not this year, next year, a regular season game in Australia. That means you're going to have a very, very long flight. Like,
according to Brad Shane,
not 4 to 5 hours. But like, you know, like you go to Europe, you go to Germany, wherever, England, you know, it's a 5-6 hour flight if you're on the East Coast, if you're a little longer. And the time change is only X amount, right? What was that?
I didn't hear the drop. What was that?
Oh, it was the Persian accent drop.
Oh.
Persian accent.
So
you got to boost that one.
So fans now, like, Melbourne is 19 hours ahead of Los Angeles. So it's 17 hours ahead of here. That's a lot. That's a lot. So, like, what do you play this game at? 6 p.m. there or 6 a.m. It'd be noon. I don't even know how the damn thing would work. I really don't know how it would work.
This could be a Cowboys game. It's possible. It's not a slam dunk, but based on where typically they've only once done a divisional game overseas. So it's the Rams. So you take out all the divisional games. And after that, like, the Cowboys are slated that year to be on with the Rams as a road game. And so could be one of those games where they can finally force the Cowboys out overseas. They haven't done one since the Jacksonville game in 2014. And then I get to hop on that charter for the 19-hour flight all the way to Australia.
So it's 1 a.m. tomorrow there? Is that how that works?
It's something like that. 1 a.m. tomorrow? Let me see what's happening.
Google the world hell? Clock. Google
and the world so, clock. Like, I mean, you know, you could play it, I guess.
It's midnight. It's 12:06 right now in Australia.
That's a big difference. It's a big difference. And they're going to have to play this week one. You play the game week one on a Thursday.
Like Brazil.
Yeah, like a Thursday or Friday. You get to be out there way ahead of time. Then you come back and you got yourself a little like a Monday night game the next week.
Diana Rossini reports that the New York Jets told Aaron Rodgers, if you come back, you're not doing McAfee anymore. Aaron Rodgers was told what the future would look like. If you're going to be part of this team, you're going to attend all of training camp. You're not going to do the Pat McAfee interviews anymore. They had a conversation with him. If you were to stay here, that is how it is. So this, to me, is Aaron Glenn getting control back.
That's right.
Woo!
That's right. And it's like, this was kind of, I think, a way for them to pull a Dallas Cowboys with McCarthy. Like, make it so impossible for him to want to come back that he just finally says no. Maybe that's, I don't know if that's what the Cowboys did or not, but it's a theory that's out there that you make it, because the reports were that, like, Rodgers wasn't really completely sold on returning to the Jets anyway, and they weren't really sold on him. So it was like, unless this is perfect for both of us, let's not do it. But it's funny that the new coach of that team is like, yeah, you're not going to go on the radio anymore. But, you know, the Cowboys owners on the radio.
No, I mean, it's a little, it is, because it's not just the radio. It's that very visual TV setup where he's like nationally broadcast every single week. And the only thing I would say is that if you were saying that, I would hope they were saying like, all right, well, we're replacing your money, though. Because like, if you're Rodgers, you're going to go. And again, if they're just trying to push him out, that's another thing. But if you're Rodgers, you're going like, I make $1 million doing this hit. I'm not just going to drop it. You're going to give me $1 million extra in my contract then, if that's what we're going to do. But that was there. I don't think that that's a reasonable thing. They're probably just trying to get him to walk away.
I think it accomplishes two things. Number one, push him out. And number two, send a message to the entire organization, the rest of the players. Like, this is not going to be anyone's show. This is going to be a Parcellsism here. Like, you're not going to be above it. We don't care if you're Aaron Rodgers. You're out of here, and we're fine. So I think it accomplishes two things with them also not wanting him back.
Don't invoke Parcells' name, though. Remember, yeah. Aaron Glenn's his own man. You can't even ask him about Parcells.
Is the National Hockey League the next one with major question marks?
So the NHL has had a bad ratings run. The opening night game got off to a really bad start. They saw a 39% decrease in year-over-year viewership on opening night. Then they drew a record low TV audience for the Winter Classic a few months later. And now the NHL is putting up, according to Awful Announcing, some truly dreadful numbers as it enters the doldrums of its regular season. According to Braylon Breeze of Sports Media Watch, a recent game between the San Jose Sharks and Seattle Kraken averaged just 175,000 viewers on ESPN.
Wow.
The least watched NHL game of the year for the network and the lowest viewed program on ESPN for the entire day. The game, which began at 9:30 Central Time, 10:30 Eastern, already not primetime television, was outdrawn by its lead-in, an Iowa State-Kansas State women's basketball game, by more than 2-1.
Oh.
And this is something that all season long, it's been rough for them. A little bit later, Wednesday's viewership didn't look much better. A Philadelphia Flyers-New Jersey Devils game on TNT and True TV averaged 253,000 viewers, which was actually a 59% increase versus last year's comparable window. So later that night, TNT and True averaged 138,000 for a Pittsburgh Penguins Utah Hockey Club game. So this is something where there's a lot of questions bubbling up now. Awful Announcing, Sports Media Watch asking questions of like, the NHL is going to have a question really soon of like, how do we boost viewership? Because we've got a massive TV problem.
Why would it drop now? I'm looking at the teams at the top of the standings to try to figure out TV markets. I'll give you the top two in each division. Florida and Toronto. So there's Florida, and then you have a non-U.S. market.
Right, so that matters.
Washington and Carolina.
All right, so Washington, obviously you've got Ovi, but Carolina's not a huge market.
Right.
Good team.
And they were also telling me, like, one of the big wigs in D.C. radio was like, I was like, you guys are a big Caps town, right? And he's like, we barely talk Caps. Winnipeg and Dallas.
All right, I mean, obviously Canada doesn't really rate, but we do. Stars, massive TV market.
But the Stars are fourth here.
Yes, they are.
Fifth, if you even count college football. And then Edmonton and Vegas, followed by the LA Kings and Vancouver and Calgary.
Yeah, the Canada thing screws it up.
And you mentioning there, though, it's fifth year behind college football. Like, is this a CFP thing? Like, the fact that the CFP was extended and there were more games where people just more locked in on football longer, and now it's like, I'm getting ready for baseball season. I don't need to jump into hockey.
Heads going to... Aren't they just going to be there no matter
what? They're there anyway.
Isn't that who's watching regardless?
Hockey is very loyal. They've got their X amount of fans in each city, and they are locked in.
Yeah. I mean, look, Dallas has been good in the last couple years, but there's a lot of distractions here in Dallas right now for people to pay attention to with Luka and, you know, the Cowboys coaching changes. And I don't know, is Vegas, is that a market that's starting to get tired of hockey? They were like excited for the first couple years. Are they just starting to settle into a normal? I don't know.
Every time I say I'm not going to watch Jake Paul again, I get suckered back in. One of you guys had sent me the rumor that the Paul brothers were going to fight each other. And I was like, okay, if that's real, I'll watch that. Jake versus Logan. That, no more. Then Jake Paul versus Canelo. I don't know how this happens. I don't buy every boxing fight, but every time freaking Canelo ends up on TV, and I know he's a god here and everywhere, but somehow I have people over that end up buying this fight on my television for Canelo and these old washed up fights that he participates in. I would have watched him versus Jake Paul. This would have felt real. Canelo apparently cancels on Jake Paul last second, and Jake Paul not happy.
Oh, Canelo, you
and this f***ing YouTuber. I just fight real fighters.
Time to expose them. So we had a signed contract to fight. Here you can see Canelo's signature and my signature to the right. Claiming he's not fighting YouTubers. Bullshit. Look at the poster. We were announcing Tuesday, February 11th. Claiming he fights real fighters, but he's fighting Crawford, a 135-pound fighter, and running from a real fighter like David Benavidez, you b***h. The truth is you can be bought. You're a money-hungry squirrel chasing your next nut. The truth is these sports-washing shady characters are paying you hundreds of millions of dollars to stop our fight from happening because they couldn't fathom the fact that they can't create a bigger fight than me and you.
I'm a little disappointed over this one. A little disappointed. I would have been interested.
That'd have been interesting because there's such a size difference.
Yeah.
Like that could, I mean.
He's so much bigger than Canelo.
Oh, it's not even close.
But I mean, Canelo's also...
But Canelo's a legitimate professional boxer, fighter. Not just a legitimate fighter, like one of the best we've seen in a long time. One of the best. So, like, this would have been interesting to see what Canelo possibly could have done against somebody that's like that much bigger, that much longer of a reach. I would have been fascinated to see how a true because, you know, like the one time that Jake fought a real decent boxer, you know, Fury, and he got beat,
which isn't even like a I mean, decent, just a size, a comparable a size and a boxer.
A boxer, right? Yeah. A boxer. Forget his record in boxing. Just a boxer.
That's who people are trying to push to come out of retirement now, is Tyson Fury. It's like, oh, I knew you.
But he fought the brother.
Yeah. Yeah, he fought Tommy. That was a really
boring fight.
So people are now trying to go like, Tyson, you should come out of retirement. Get him to do a fight and just knock his ass out. Please knock him out. Everybody wants him to like fight like Anthony Joshua or like a legit like heavyweight fighter now.
He would get killed. We get killed.
Headlines and everything you need to know here on Sean and RJ. It's DFW Sports Station trying to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. Be careful driving out there. Hopefully the rain has let up because it was treacherous this morning. We want to hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on. We got a college baseball ticket giveaway. We go commercial free. And have we all missed the real reason? And are you going to give them any type of pass for the Luka trade? We'll explore what I think is really behind it next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We got a college baseball ticket giveaway. Oh, This can be an all-time chop it up. What do you have to wear to your own family member's funeral? That's coming up at 7:40. It's DFW Sports Station Hump Day Edition.
Hey. Hump Day.
Glad you're waking up with us. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. So I was so set on this topic that I was bugging RJ about it at the airport bar on the way back from New Orleans. I was like, what about this? This is something we haven't really talked about. We've talked about conditioning, and we've talked about Nico maybe being dumb, and we've talked about the infatuation for Anthony Davis, and we talked about all these other things, and I know you're not going to give them any break. I just want to point out some facts. There is a first apron and a second. Actually, you know what? I'm going to give the credit to the person who actually deserves it. The only media member I've heard talking about this out loud, of all people, is Draymond Green with Baron Davis.
You see Luka Doncic getting traded? Don't not for one second think that that's also not a byproduct of that dumbass CBA we signed. You put in a hard cap. The second apron is a hard cap. And every time somebody get up that second apron, you can bet your bottom dollar they're going to be trying to trade out of that second apron. Mm-hmm. And so you just saw Luka Doncic get traded at 25. That is a byproduct of the second apron. Dallas like, man, we're going to have to pay him $85 million a year. All right.
Ain't no money for nobody else.
We about to go into the second apron? No, we ain't trying to go into the second apron. I don't think people notice or realize that, but you're going to see more and more trades like that because that second apron, man.
I think it's a phenomenal point. Now, the second apron is one of these things that I don't think has been explained well enough. It's one of these sports finances that confuses me, right? Like, whenever we talk about trading Dak, trading Micah, I always turn to the fellas and say, what are the financials? Because I don't understand the cap ramifications and this hit and how this money can be pushed and all that crap. It's confusing to me. I let these smarter guys figure it out. That's what the second apron is. Essentially, it's a penalty. The league put this in place so that the deep pocket teams could not just buy everyone. So if you're approaching the second apron, you get penalized. That's what it is. It's essentially a major penalty zone for offending teams. So Steve Ballmer can't just buy everyone because he's the richest man in sports or the NBA. And teams in the second apron lose certain important roster construction abilities. How many teams run by many billionaires like we had and have? How many teams are like, screw it, we're billionaires. We're gonna be in the second apron. We care that much about winning. Do you know how many it is, Bobby? How many would you think?
The way you're setting it up makes me think very few, but I would have guessed previously 10.
Okay, there's four. Mm-hmm. The Phoenix Suns. Nice buzz. He knew the answer. He was just, Bobby turned around slow-mo to Peyton.
All right, Peyton. Well, we'll see how tomorrow and the next 2 days go for you.
By the way, it's also kind of new ownership. I don't know if the Bucks are under new ownership, but Phoenix is new ownership. Minnesota, Boston, Milwaukee. The Golden State Warriors, when they had their new fund ownership, they're like, screw it, we don't care. It's like the first impression is the time where these owners will go into the second apron because they want to prove to their fan base, we don't care. Spending be damned. There are no restraints. We're going to bring you titles. But there's only four second apron teams. It's basically been an average of 5.5 in recent seasons. So here are my two questions. And I know your answer to the first one. If Steve Ballmer, if the LA Lakers, if the Golden State Warriors are not in the second apron, the creme de la creme, the big dogs, the most famous, the richest, should we destroy the Mavericks for not wanting to be there? Mark Cuban early on, right? It was like, I'll pay the luxury tax. I don't care.
Well, he had said it's impossible to be successful in the NBA and turn a profit as a team. That's just what he said.
Yes.
So,
and a lot of the speculation about this new ownership group, they want to run it like a business. So they're going to give up $3.5 billion only to lose hundreds of millions of more in the search to win a championship, but a bad business decision unless you think it's really going to increase the value of your franchise. You're giving away hundreds of millions of dollars after paying $3.5 billion. No, if it's a business, we're not going to reach that apron.
Which are you, I don't know, you may be about to get into this, so if so, I'll say this, but are you going to get into the exact penalties they have for second apron? Because I asked ChatGPT, like, just basically summarize it. So, and these are the key points. No mid-level exception, so you can't sign any free agents using that. Limited trade options. You can't take back more salary in trades. Frozen draft picks. If a team stays over the second apron for multiple years, their first round draft pick gets moved to the end of the draft. And then no cash in trades. So you can't send or receive money in trades when you're at the second apron.
Wow. That's a lot of penalties.
The first apron, I mean, you can't do a sign. You can only do sign in trades in the first apron.
The first apron is 178 mil. The second is 189. I mean, that's just a quick Google search. So you have a couple of things that are trying to help teams retain superstars, and you have something that Draymond is saying is going to cause superstars to leave. The Supermax supposed to keep Giannis in Milwaukee. The Supermax is supposed to keep the big time, supposed to keep Wemby in San Antonio, those types of markets. But on the other side, 90% of the league doesn't want to reach that second apron, so will you start seeing more Supermaxes avoided? So my first question is, number one, should we be destroying the DeMonts when the Lakers and the Warriors and the Clippers are not there? And they're supposed to be win now all the time, either through reputation or ownership. Number two.
The Lakers are at $188 million. They're a million away. They're going to get to it now. You know, with Luka, like, it's like, you know, the Mavs have more money than the Lakers. The Adelson family has more money than the Buss family.
Yeah.
The Adelson family has more money than, is it Joe Lacob? Is he the owner of Gold?
Yeah.
It's just Ballmer. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
In the NBA. It's just Ballmer that has more money.
But here's my question. Let's just say that your answer on the fan text is, damn right, they should impress us to start. First impressions, you got a win now team. And you got two Hall of Famers, so go into it. Well, how long do they have to stay there?
As long as they have a generational talent, and then you can, if 1 year you want to take a one
every
year,
other team, a lot of other teams in the league are not there.
But who are those teams saying goodbye to? Like Golden State, in order to stay on the second apron, is saying goodbye to 32-year-old Klay Thompson.
Yeah,
they like, were in Dallas. It. Got rid of 26-year-old Luka. Like there's not.
Milwaukee's going to be in it as long as they have Giannis in his prime. The Spurs are going to get into it, I'm assuming, unless they just simply can't afford it. Look, if you want to run it like a business and you're in sports, then find another business. Sports is not something to make a profit in year after year. Sports is called a loss leader. You make money on the sale of the team. You buy it. You maybe try to break even, and then you sell it.
What if you don't want to sell?
Well, I mean you're not buying a sports franchise to make money off it year after year. You're buying a sports franchise as a hobby. Let's be fair on this. All these billionaires are buying this as a hobby. Steve Cohen bought a hobby. Steve Ballmer bought a hobby, and Jerry Jones, he's even said, I wanted to buy a career. He bought a career in the NFL. Now, you can, like, you know, it's different when you buy it at $110 million in 1989.
Yeah.
Right? Where you pay that off, but.
So are the Thunder, your expectation is the Thunder should eventually have to be, or Denver.
They're in it, right?
Phoenix, Minnesota, Boston, and Milwaukee. That's it. You have the Joker. You have the multi-time MVP. All I'm saying is
the moment they sign, they're going to have to get into it.
And they're, by the way,
sign what? They've had a win now championship team.
They have, but you know, like if they don't want to sign Joker again, like because he's getting older.
As it stands now, like Dallas is slated to be in the second apron next year with Anthony Davis. Like that, just barely over. It's 189 and 34,000. So I mean, they could obviously make some tweaks to be short of it. But, like, I mean, it's like even the trade they made now, like, you still traded for a massive contract. Like, the last year of Anthony Davis's contract, he's due $62 million. And so it's like.
Yeah, it's not like they cut costs here.
They're still, I mean, they did definitely cut some costs because the Supermax was going to cost them significantly more. But they took on a lot of salary with Anthony Davis still.
And then my other question is, so my first question is, you know, how long should they have to be in the second apron and how long should they have to be when the overwhelming majority, the rest of the league is not. And the second question is, all right, if the mandate is we're not going to live in the second apron, was this the smartest financial decision to make to try to compete. Would you rather have Luka and what's left over or a lesser player with more money to spend around?
Luka.
That,
I mean, that's how you win in the NBA is stars. Like stars.
It is.
That's how you win.
And, you know, even the role players in the NBA, I mean, they're still like $10 million at a bare minimum. Like next year. So like the team apron tracker for next year. The second apron's at 206. Like the Mavs next year are at 192. That's, and I don't know if this is as presently constructed. I don't have that. But, I mean, Cleveland's in it next year. Phoenix and Boston are in it. You know, obviously Denver's right on the cusp, and it depends on who they have, who they add in the offseason. They
and the Mavs, too. The Mavs also don't have all these draft picks to be able to use if, you know, as a player acquisition.
Yeah, Sandler. So Sandler and I were talking yesterday, and he had said the worst thing that could happen to them right now is they go like 500 the rest of the way, where they just like sort of the same question from a couple years ago, where it's like, if you just barely sneak in and then you lose that draft pick, like use the lottery status with what's going to be your last first round draft pick for a while, then they've really screwed themselves. Like they need to either be really good and really surge ahead, or they need to just crumble.
Are you buying that any of this was? So you're not buying that this was apron, second apron related. Look,
I'm not dismissing that.
You're not accepting it though.
I'm as furious with that as I would be with the trade. That you cannot be in sports.
The rest of the all I'm saying is there's only four teams doing it.
Right, but I'm saying like you don't the rest of the league. Like, if you want to, like, the rest of the league doesn't have it, doesn't trade. Nobody else has traded a 25-year-old superstar because of the money.
If you're worried about the second apron, then you get rid of Kyrie. You don't get rid of Luka. And I don't want to get rid of either, but right. That's who you get rid of. You get rid of the 32-year-old.
Yeah.
And so that's how every other NBA team has functioned, is they go, well, we're getting rid of the aging guy. We're keeping the young one. And so, to me, I mean, I think the second apron, I don't think that was the reason, but I bet it was an easy, like, plus, guys, look at this. Like, yeah. I think it's an added selling point to be able to, like, push it over.
Did Mark Stein add what you've been sending us? Are those Reddit posts? Is that Mark Stein adding to why this happened?
Oh yeah, let me pull that up. What was the exact?
It was basically saying it was majority Nico.
Yeah,
people are trying to come up with all the different theories, right? It was a business decision. DeMonts did not want. They're trying to drain the fan base, take it to Vegas. Jason Kidd was on board, but Mark Stein had the latest.
This was the quote from Mark Stein's article. He said, it was largely Harrison who has increasingly believed since the Mavericks' one side loss to the Celtics in the NBA Finals that Doncic would not improve his commitment to conditioning, his off-court dietary discipline. He would not improve as a leader or culture setter. He would not improve his well-chronicled comportment issues with referees. He would not be able to stay healthy as he got older, and thus could not, after the Mavericks and Doncic grapple with these issues since Harrison arrived in June 2021, be given the 5-year Supermax deal worth nearly $350 million that he was expecting in July. So Mark Stein is saying that this basically came down to Nico saying he's not worth the Supermax. We're not paying that.
And that is why Nico continues to get booed. Last night at the SMU basketball game, they got him. The Mustang fans got him sitting up there in the stands. So right now, Nico cannot escape. So that's just a theory. I was wondering about it. Supermax, the rest of the teams, is it going to work against these teams? Is it really going to benefit them? The second apron that very few people have talked about.
Which you laid it out there as like, all right, let me play devil's advocate and throw this theory out there. Do you think ultimately that's a good enough excuse if that's what it is?
Not in the beginning. Not in the beginning of your tenure. I think when you come in and you have that amount of money, you should send a message and try to build your legacy like Cuban did.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay the luxury tax. I don't care. If you're poor, you're poor. I'm not. And I'm gonna go over the top. The Golden State Warriors sent a message for a long time. We're going to collect as many. Nothing will stop us from trying to build a super team. Nothing. That's an amazing message to send to your fan base. And I think when you're taking over fresh and new, you have to be in violation of it. You have to pay the piper, pay the price. And then the value of your franchise will increase with another championship. So, no, I'm not buying it. I was just throwing it out there as a devil's advocate. Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to the College Baseball Showcase at Globe Life Field in Arlington on Friday, February 21st through the 23rd. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Ladies and gentlemen, behind the scenes here at this radio station, RJ Choppy is, he's in disarray. He is confused. He's flustered. He's more flustered over this than his father actually passing away. And that leads us into an all-time great topic, I think, as we chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Oh, what to wear to the funeral to honor your dead father.
And what to say. You're getting picked apart for this. You're the Nico of this funeral.
You know, it's amazing. You know, I've told my mom time and time again since this happened and he passed away. I said quite simply, I'm in charge. I'm the patriarch of the family now, okay?
Does the paperwork say that, or is it an even split? Because I thought your sister was the responsible one.
Well, she's the responsible one. She's the executor of the will. Okay, but I'm in charge. Okay. Make no mistake about it. I'm the man. Okay,
who's still in that
house? It's 1954.
Isn't the executor like the boss?
Well, when it comes to like doling out the money,
who took charge when it came to clearing up the New York State ex-wife issue? Who took charge of that?
I did a lot of the legwork.
Okay,
I'm the one that made the call. I made the call locally to find attorneys. I'm the one that made the call to find that attorney.
And then I called my sister and I said, "Can we do this?"
My mom had to do a lot of the phone call because she has all the numbers, right? But make no mistake, I am a jerk. Okay, and so we have the funeral tomorrow. Bobby is going to be in attendance. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Peyton during his nap time. Very far away from where he is, where he lives. But what do I wear to this? I was planning on, you know, wearing, you know, cowboy boots, my jeans, like a sweater, and a hat, like a cowboy hat. That's what I was planning on wearing. Okay? That's my dress-up attire. I don't really dress up. But my kids are wearing suits. I can't be dressed less than my children. My mother believes that you should dress to a funeral in a full suit with tie. That's her belief. That's what my dad did. My sisters are going to throw me under the bus if I don't. What's her name? Sarah is getting all... She's angry at me right now. She's telling me that I can't wear this, I can't wear that. So I'm just very flustered. And I don't know what to wear because I want to wear sweatpants in this thing. I'm a sweatpants guy. Ideally, perfect world. My dad, when he would coach baseball, he coached in baseball pants. Ideally, I would wear baseball pants.
Okay.
And I would dress up like that and dress up like him.
So, in my opinion, go ahead, Bob.
No, he just, while you had stepped out during the break and Chicolade was in here, he goes, hey, Bob, let me ask you something. Do you think I can get away with wearing this at the theater? I was like, I'm not the guy to ask about, can you get away with it? And he goes, yeah, you're right, never mind, I'm not going to ask you.
So, if you don't wear the baseball pants to like truly honor him, where it's so clear and obvious you're just trying to honor him, that's y'all's thing, baseball and sports, then, you know, you have to wear a suit, I think. Now, do you have to wear a suit to every funeral? No, I don't believe so. The great Ted Nichols Payne, he had it his way. That wasn't Ted's thing. We all wore to wear beach gear.
Yeah.
You know? Roger Emmerich, I did not feel like, if it's my immediate family, I have to wear a suit. If it's Roger Emmerich, I think I can go, and I love Raj. You know, I probably talked to him the most up here of anyone. I felt like I could go in like a fancy dinner attire with jeans or a dress shirt or a sweater or something like that. If it's my father passing away at the age of 89, knock on wood, does not happen, I feel like I have to go in a suit. If you do the baseball pant thing, I think you can get away with that. The other thing that I've argued one time with my family about is like, don't tell me how to honor someone that I'm super close with. Mm. I could not. Now, I was like 12 when one of my grandmothers passed away, and I was at like a Syracuse broadcast camp. That's as close as I ever got to getting into Syracuse during the summer, and I did not fly back home for it. And part of it was selfishness. Like, I can't take it. I can't be there. Like, I'll just completely break down. We were super close, and I don't have to show up and fly back to prove to you that I loved my grandmother. That's not your business to tell me how to feel about my loved one. So a part of me has that. I was young, immature, not realizing, okay, like part of that, I needed to be there for my mother. You know what I mean? But if would she freak out if he did the baseball pant thing? Is like a tribute, probably.
No, you know, I think she actually would like that one better. She would actually approve of that more than me dressing how I would want to dress.
Yeah, because your whole cowboy hat thing, like everything else you copy your dad in. Your dad's, you said he was a suit guy.
Oh,
so
why
are you pushing this to the side when every other thing you've been honoring and copying all his wishes and all his style, but now you're trying to come up there like Briscoe County Jr.
I don't know the reference.
No way you guys know that.
Do you know it? No.
Okay.
He said good reference.
Listen, how long have you known me?
How long have you known me? I'm a complete fraud.
Yeah, you are a complete fraud.
Is your mom going to be like, I'm just curious about that. Does this mean that I'm expected to show up in a suit, or is that just because of your family?
No, it's because I'm family.
Okay, good. So I can like, do jeans.
So we had a cousin. He showed up to a funeral. He wore black jeans, cowboy boots, and he wore his tuxedo jacket. And my dad was like, look at this Bubba Luke. That's what he would call him. Well, look at this Bubba Luke here.
So
he would call me a Bubba Luke.
Yeah.
Or a Mama Luke, however you want to call it.
Now, look, I hate wearing suits. I'm secretly happy that I'm going to be in Mexico tomorrow, so I didn't have to have this decision of, am I going to fit into the suit still? Do I have to get the suit, dry cleaned? Do I have to go through all this and that? But I think, I think if you're not going to do the baseball pants, you're going to have to wear a suit.
Right. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
But it smells. I haven't got it cleaned.
Well, that's your fault. He's been dead for a while.
What's the suit you wore to the wedding with Sarah like a year ago?
What's her name?
Yeah, what's her name? You remember you wore a suit to what?
I had a black suit. I don't know where it is.
Did you rent that?
You can't find it.
I can't find it. I have no idea where it is. I can't find it.
I was going to say, just wear that.
That was a good looking suit.
It was a great looking suit. I have no idea where
it is. Did you rent it?
No, I bought it.
Do you not have a suit?
Yeah, I got a blue suit.
Okay.
I have a blue suit.
Do you know if it fits after New Orleans?
Yeah, it fits after New Orleans, right? Yeah, no, it fits. I just don't know. I've had it cleaned a million times. I can't, whatever smell is on it, I can't get it out.
Is your mom more worried about your attire or your speech?
Oh, my speech. She is deathly afraid of my speech. I've written two. I'm probably going to go write another one today, and then I'm going to combine them all.
Wow.
It's...
What is worrying her?
She thinks, she goes, just don't embarrass him. He doesn't like to be made fun of. And I said, I don't care. He's getting made fun of.
Do you have like a preview joke that you plan on dropping in this thing?
Well, I do, but I'm not going to go. I can't use it. I can't use it. I do want to say that this is the only Italian who can't tan. Even his ashes are white.
I think that's good.
So is his type of humor, he would not laugh at that type of humor?
He would laugh at it with other people, but he got very sensitive if you made fun of him.
Oh.
He hated being made fun of.
Oh.
He's like 5'8". Short man.
Yeah.
Right? He was an animal.
That may be something you want to abide by and honor.
Yeah, if he
didn't... screw him. This is my thing. Okay, this isn't about him. This is about me.
Even his funeral is about RG.
Yes.
Hey, they say there's a the great 1975. They've got a line. They say your death, it doesn't happen to you. It happens to your family and your friends. In Theory Chop, this is just they're trying to make it about the person who's gone, but it really is supposed to be for the people who are there.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
It's for your mourning process.
It's my funeral. You know, I lost my dad. Nobody else there lost their dad.
And now how serious?
Like your sisters.
Again, it's about me.
The executors. In reality, though, how upset would your mom be if you violated all these things?
The suit aspect, she wouldn't be that upset about, I don't think. My older sister would be more upset. She's taking this thing like, you know, it's the death of... I don't know, who the hell was the guy? World War I guy. What's his name?
Payton.
Archduke Ferdinand.
I was going to say Franz Ferdinand.
One. Yeah. So she's taking it like, you know, super serious.
Yeah.
My mom wouldn't be that upset. She's more worried about the speech. She doesn't want me to embarrass him or embarrass her.
Okay.
And I told her it's not about you. It's about me.
Yeah.
So that's what I keep telling her.
817 says call the cleaners for that black suit. They said that they forget stuff all the time with the cleaners. They said it's possible you got it cleaned and then just forgot it.
That's very possible. Like, that's incredibly possible. So that's where we are. It is chopping it up here on 105 through the Fan. I'm going to have to, like, Bobby's going to have to record the speech. Right?
I don't think you're going to, look, I know you. You're not going to cross the line on it. You're not going to drop in the jokes that all of us are laughing at. You'll wuss out.
I'm going to be recording on my phone the reaction to the crowd to hear if he gets laid out on these things.
All right, we'll play it back on the show.
That's definitely going to happen. There's no doubt about that one. I am going to get laid out on for sure.
I'm going to edit it to make it sound like everybody laid out.
The last time I did a speech, nobody left. Nobody.
With the recent one?
Yeah, I did one. My buddy Michael Witten passed away, and they called me up there to speak, and I was like, well, I don't know I'm speaking. I didn't know I had to speak.
Yeah.
So I had nothing. I just told a story about a pink bike. That's it. I told a story. We bought a pink bike off of a homeless guy in Jacksonville.
For how much?
$20.
That was his only mode of transportation. Gave him $20.
No, the guy admitted he had just taken the bike from somebody.
So I bought a hot bike
and I was hammered and I couldn't get an Uber. I couldn't get an Uber home. It was going to take 40 minutes. So I took the bike and I drove the bike back to the Airbnb on a hot bike.
Chopping it up, continuing here on 105.3 The Fan.
All right. We have a 1 in 43 chance of dying in the year 2032.
Really?
You hear about this?
No, I did not hear about this.
So they discovered an asteroid that in December had a 1% chance of striking Earth. Well, now they have upped that to a 2% chance, more than a 2% chance, where we now have a 1 in 43 chance of this asteroid hitting Earth in the year 2032, in December of 2032. Now, they're saying it is not going to be one of these things that obliterates the whole world.
Okay.
All right. It's like 40. They say
Hopefully just the West Coast.
Right. they're projecting right now that it lands south of the equator and in the water, which would create a pretty massive tsunami, like, all across the Atlantic Ocean. Florida, England, Europe, East Coast of the U.S. But that is, usually it's like you've got a 1 in 2,000 chance. No, we've got a 1 in 43. Pretty high.
Yeah, of it hitting the Earth, but you mentioned it's supposed to land in the water. What are the chances right now? It's not 1 in 43 that it hits land, right?
No, it's 1 in 43 that it hits the Earth. And it's like 40 meters wide.
In American terms, Chop, how many is that?
It's you know, 50 yards, 40 yards. 40 yards. It's a 40-yard dash. You know, it's not nothing.
It's 131 feet. Yeah, very good.
Some of it'll, some of it'll burn up in the atmosphere, but they're projected that it hits, you know, it won't
care. Not worried. You fall for these things every time. You've read 50 of these things over the years. Not a one has ever happened.
2% chance?
They're not going to happen. And if it does happen, I'd rather go that way. I'd rather just be wiped out quickly than long suffering. Just boom, blip, snap of the fingers, gone. So fine. That's the way I look at it.
Man, I don't know. Like, you're going to go, oh, that's pretty. Wait, what's that? And then it's over. Like, I mean,
that's pretty.
There's no chance to.
What is that second sun up there?
Have you ever seen like a...
Can I boogie board this wave?
Have you ever seen like a meteorite enter the atmosphere, like in person? Have you ever seen it?
I don't think so.
I was driving. I was on Beltline near 114 at night a couple years ago driving in.
Well.
And there was one that I was sitting there at the 114 turn, getting ready to turn. And I just remember thinking, like, I saw this bright light and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a car, like, oncoming traffic here. And I looked up and it lit up like daytime and then fizzled out. And so I mean, those things are, when they enter the atmosphere, they are bright as hell. It'll light up the whole area.
I want to give you an update on our guy Luigi.
Oh,
on your boy Luigi Mangione, who, if you may remember,
Chris Strong's boy, not ours,
Chris Strong's boy. he is charged with murdering the United Healthcare CEO, which we've forgotten his name, haven't we?
Yes.
Ooh. Yep, forgot.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, right? He has been given over $300,000. Brian Thompson was his name, by the way. Oh. Been given over $300,000 by donations for, like, GoFundMes and stuff for his defense team.
What?
Yeah, people have donated over $300,000 from his fans to pay for his defense, and he is sitting there. See, look, I mean, I can wear that to the funeral. A red suit, a red sweater with a white shirt popping.
That's very nice.
He does look very nice. He's going to dress up better for his court hearing than I'm going to be.
He touched up his eyebrows.
I will say this. I did not, you know, I did not defend those who, like, supported him and said the CEO deserved it. I was thinking during the California fires, though, when I read about the companies who pulled the rug out on those homes and said, we're taking away your insurance. You could see how something like this happens, you know? You can see how something like this takes place. Not necessarily like the act. It's just the message of the act. Like, you're willing to ruin my life, destroy my life. So that's why he has $300K in the account.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's like, you know, the California thing was interesting because they had told the state, we got to raise rates. And the state of California has like a cap. You can't raise insurance rates X over a certain amount. And they're like, we have so many liabilities. Like, we're going to lose money. We have to just pull out.
Yeah.
And they did. Like, and it sucks. But like, that's what they had
to do. That's their business.
Yeah. I mean, it really is their business.
It's like if 40 asteroids start hitting us, there's going to have to be
asteroid insurance.
Asteroid insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Chopping it up here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, tell me which one you would like better. Certain countries and certain companies are offering hangover leave to lure potential workers to come to them.
Oh.
See, now companies have to give like benefits like, hey, please come work for us.
Oh.
So hangover leave is one. So instead of using like a personal day or a sick day, you have a hangover day.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I know, it is.
How many though? You just get one?
Yeah, how many?
It doesn't say like how many you get, but you know, you get like two personal days a year. You might get two hangover days a year.
Okay.
I could deal with that.
I drowned it in Tito's today.
Yeah. And other companies are, so the survey.
God, I would just love to go out and party on a random weeknight.
Yeah. And say, I'm taking a hangover day tomorrow.
When I go out for a Sunday fun day, if I have off that Monday, I'm like, this is so fun.
Yeah.
This is so awesome.
It's so great.
Because, I know. Because really, our weekend, and again, we're working in the playground of life, right? We're sitting here on our rear ends talking about sports. But our weekend is really a day and a half. That's what it is. It's Friday afternoon to night, Saturday, Sunday, at least in my house, like maybe early on in the morning. I think you especially, Tommy, do a lot of other things during your Sunday. I get Sunday scaries and I'm like, no, I wake up at like 7 and start trying to knock out the entire show. And I don't view that as a weekend day.
Sunday right. feels like a work day.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It depends. It just depends whether you wake up and do it a lot of it in the morning or put it off till the afternoon.
Especially when it's not football season. Because I get like, I'm more like, is there anything to talk about? If we don't have football, I got to find stuff. So I feel like Sundays are actually like more work days when there's not football.
Another little benefit or perk. A survey of, you know, 800 staffers and 200 managers across all adult age demographics found that over half of the workers who have called in and they found out that they're calling in not for a sick day or whatever, but a sex day.
What?
Yeah. And this is one of those things. It's like
I'm taking off have relations?
Yeah. And that they're the next day.
Scheduled?
Yeah, the next day, their work productivity shoots up in the air. So they're saying like that's one of the new things that they're going to try, that they're going to try to maybe give.
It's a conjugal day.
It's a conjugal day.
So you and your significant other, you and your significant other both have to have sex days that they can take off.
Yeah, take off. And then all of a sudden.
Look, man, anyone who knows trying to have a baby, you can't schedule it.
It's hard to schedule.
You can't schedule it.
But you got to, like, take your temperature and, you know.
Take your temperature. Huh?
For ovulation, the girl takes
the
temperature.
Do you have to take the temperature?
That's how you find. Yeah, yeah. Because you have like a 36-hour window.
Yeah, it's much more narrow.
Unless you're 16 years old. Then it's like you can just get pregnant.
Which
period.
You shouldn't be at 16.
Right, absolutely.
Chopping it up every single hump day during the commercial-free expressway on DFW Sports Station. Kellen Moore completes the hiring cycle. All the coaching hires have been graded. How bad did the Cowboys do? Inside the Star and Around the NFL next.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.